Hvis det her lyder som om, det er en restaurant, så tag I fejl. Det er ikke én restaurant. Det er 100 restauranter eller sådan noget lignende. Det er en gigantisk markedshal. Og jeg må indrømme, at da jeg gik ind i den her markedshal, så havde jeg ikke nogen forestilling om, at det var sådan en, jeg gik ind i. Men nu havde jeg fået at vide, at vi skulle derind og drikke noget æblevin, og det havde jeg altså ikke drukket noget af på nuværende tidspunkt, så det er ikke derfor, hvis I synes, at I ikke helt forstår, hvad jeg siger, at det er fordi, jeg drukket æblevin. Nej, nej, det venter jeg med til senere. Men når man nu kommer til Frankfurt, og jeg har været i Frankfurt rigtig mange gange. Jeg har været til det store IAA, jeg tror i 25 år eller sådan noget lignende. Det kom hver andet år, og så har jeg været hernede til masser af prøvekørsler og biler og sådan nogle ting. Det foregår ofte i Frankfurt, fordi de har en gigantisk lufthavn. Så der har jeg også været en milliard gange sådan rundt regnet, overdrevet måske, men dog temmelig mange. I alle tilfælde, så vil jeg jo gerne fortælle noget om Frankfurt, fordi de gange, jeg har været i Frankfurt, har jeg jo haft mine øjne åbne og set, der er andet i Frankfurt end biler. Der er andet i Frankfurt end banker. Godt nok ikke meget, fordi det er ligesom bankerne, der driver byen. Men man har også en gammel Frankfurt. Man har også en kultur i Frankfurt. En madkultur for eksempel. Og så er der det der med den der æblevin. Og så har man selvfølgelig også ganske almindelige mennesker, der bor her, og som lever her, og som oprindeligt fik, det indledte vi jo hele den her seance med, fik et Frankfurter-küche. Det skabte man tilbage i midten af 20'erne, fordi at dengang havde man ikke særlig mange penge. Det har man altså i Frankfurt nu til dag, skal jeg så lige sige. De fleste har i hvert fald. Der er også nogle meget fattige, men det er en anden historie. Men et faktum er det i hvert fald, at man skabte et Frankfurter-küche. Og det der Frankfurter-küche, det var et fysisk køkken, det har jeg fortalt om i et andet indslag. Men man kan godt forbinde det her Frankfurter-küche med lige præcis denne her oplevelse også. Fordi det er en stor markedshal, og den ligger centralt inde i det gamle Frankfurt. Men det, jeg egentlig ville frem til, var at sige, at når man nu kommer som dybest set uvidende om, hvad Frankfurt er, så er det godt at have en guide. Og jeg har fundet en guide, jeg har man hjulpet mig med at finde, som hedder Tommy Jeff, og han ved alt om Frankfurt. Han har ikke boet her hele sit liv, han har ovenikøbet svensk gift, men at vi gennemfører altså ikke vores samtale på svensk, fordi det tror jeg, det går galt. Men i alle tilfælde, så gør vi det på engelsk, fordi han har også arbejdet som investmentbanker, som det hedder bankier, tror jeg nok, det hedder på dansk, det ved jeg ikke. Men i alle tilfælde i London og formentlig også andre steder her på jordkloden, et faktum er, at han taler flydende engelsk. Så Tommy, I have told the story to the listeners, and maybe you understood a little bit of it, because you speak some Swedish, but you also told me that this Danish language is impossible, but it is not so impossible. Even the small Danes are able to speak it. Anyway, you can speak English, and that is, for me, also an example of the internationality of Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things which you told us when we met 3 hours ago or something was that you have a lot of internationalities in Frankfurt. You can the numbers, please. How many internationalities are in Frankfurt?
Right now we have 179 nations that work and live here in Frankfurt.
It's amazing. Yeah. It is impossible to see because all of them sitting inside the big buildings, the big banks, and we don't see them. Maybe in the evening in the restaurants.
When you walk through Frankfurt, you hear so many different languages. There you can imagine how international Frankfurt is. Of course, it has to do with the banks that are involved, like you said. But not only. It has also to do with the thing that Frankfurt is in the perfect position here in Europe, in the middle of everything. So people, when they arrive here at the airport, sometimes they decide they stay here in Frankfurt.
I think that is a very good idea. I've never really done it, and that is also the reason why I wanted to get a little deeper into Frankfurt and try to expose it, try to tell the Danish listeners what is happening. They can also read about it, they can see pictures, even if the weather is not very on our side.
These days,
a little bit foggy outside. Anyway, it's a nice... There's no fog inside here. But it is a nice city to walk around and to see people and to listen, as you said, all the different cultures.
Yeah. The thing is, with Frankfurt, it's really easy to walk, like you saw it today, because it's always short ways. Everything is walkable. And usually in big cities, you need to take the tube or you go by bike or whatever, or by car, to get to different places. Here in Frankfurt, in the inner city, everything is walkable because it's so small. Like I said before, I always call Frankfurt a village with a skyline, a tube, and an airport.
In some way it is, at least when you get into the core of Frankfurt, you don't really see these skyscrapers. They are outside, we can show them on pictures and so on, and of course you can go to them, and you can go on the top of them. I have been told that 20 out of the 22 highest houses in Germany and I think 8 houses, which is more than 150 meters high.
That's it,
20 of the 22 highest buildings are here in Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. Okay, compared to Manhattan, it is not maybe the same amount of skyscrapers, but even then, they call Frankfurt Manhattan.
Manhattan, that's it. The thing is, even we are so small, we like to compare ourselves with the big ones, yeah, Manhattan compare with Manhattan, but this is not really true, because Frankfurt is less than 1 million people live here. It's only 780,000 people that live here in Frankfurt. So it's a small area where everything is so concentrated that, there's no need to walk outside somewhere. I mean, we have suburbs here as well, and we have some nice suburbs also. But when you want to come over to Frankfurt, in 2-3 days, you can get a feeling about Frankfurt and, yeah, explore everything quite fast.
So it is definitely not a big city, but it isn't a small city either.
No.
There's a lot of things to experience, and the city has been very skilled when it comes to develop things. They have on these museums-uber, that is a part of the mine, that is the Breden heist in Danish. There you have 39 museums, and you also have museums around in the city, so you can be inside, walking around and looking at art and everything you want to know.
It's really good that you mentioned that. We have a lot of museums here. We have the Museum Embankment, or in German, Museumsufer. I have sometimes guests here who only visit museums for 2 weeks. For me, quite strange.
And it's not because it's raining outside?
No. They come here because of all these different museums. Like you mentioned the Museum Embankment. There you have the Städel Museum, you have the Museum for Communication, you have Film Museum, you have the Museum of World Cultures. We have even an Ikonen Museum, an Icon Museum here, the biggest one outside East Europe. So if you want, and if you're into museums, you can do this for 2 weeks. Only we even have a techno museum here.
And then you have a lot of historical buildings which are not historical, because many years ago there was a war here in Frankfurt and the rest of the world, basically, and there was more or less nothing left. When this war ended, the Second World War, of course, there was more or less nothing ended. There was a few church and a little bit, some buildings, some of them I will show on the website, but everything was grounded, so to say. And it has been built up since then. But then I also want you to tell me the story, because a little bit later, on this day actually, we are going to experience the internationality of Frankfurt, because we are going to a special show coming from, I think it's West End in London, the Simon and Garfunkel story. And it is not so much for me to see the Simon and Garfunkel story, but for me it is some sort of a way to express the internationality, because you go into this theater and you see the show, and it's probably in English, I guess, I don't know, I'll find out. Anyway, it is happening in the Alte Oper, in the old opera, and it is one of the buildings where something was left after the Second World War, and then the city took over and built a new old opera, so to say. Can you come with some more details? I don't know them.
The thing is, Frankfurt was more or less bombed flat in the Second World War. We had in the inner city 80 to 90% destruction rate. So the planners after the war, after the Second World War, after 1945, they had the possibility to create a totally new city. Frankfurt is not a beauty queen, but it's a mixture of everything when it comes to architecture. You have here, after Second World War architecture, of course, from the 50s and 60s, then you have post-modern style architecture of the 80s, and of course with all the skyscrapers nowadays, 21st century architecture also. But you also have some places that reminds you of the past here in Frankfurt, like the old Opera House, or we just walked through New Old Town. Quite a contradiction, New Old Town. Why is that? Well, we decided here in a small area, as big as a football pitch, to build up 35 houses, and there are 15 reconstructions and 20 new buildings. And we built that up to give back the Frankfurters a bit of the idea how Frankfurt looked like before the war. And so we have a mixture here of everything.
And in that way, the old mm-hmm. opera is an example, basically, mm-hmm. outside and probably also inside. Mm-hmm. I haven't been inside yet, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure whether I get a guided tour there, but we can imagine how it looks like, and we can, of course, get an idea about this immense work which has happened in Frankfurt after the Second World War.
With the old opera house, when you mention it, I mean, it was rebuilt until 1981, and inside you have postmodern styled architecture of the 80s, the beginning of the 80s. But outside, of course, it shows you a 1900.
Yeah. So basically, it is the new old opera, so it's, to say.
Yeah, we can way, say like, that too. Some Frankfurters wouldn't agree, but.
No, it's up to them.
It's but it's really funny to say that, yeah.
Anyway, we haven't finished our guided tour yet, but we are just about to finish it. And then we are going to taste some apple wine, and then I'm not quite sure what happens with my voice and my way of expressing things. Anyway, I want to thank you for this guided tour in Frankfurt. And of course, you can on the website see a lot of pictures and some more detailed descriptions about what we have experienced and where it is to find, so that the listeners can actually go in our footsteps, so to say, and get another impression of Frankfurt than only the skyscrapers and the banks.
Og så galt gik det jo altså heller ikke. På vej ud af den her store markedshal, som faktisk er meget lille, og som man altså udefra ikke rigtig kan se egentlig er en markedshal. Man skal ligesom vide det på forhånd. Der var vi så inde og fik smagsprøve på forskellige typer af æblevine. Og jeg skal love for, at de varierer altså over et meget, meget stort spektrum. Det er sådan med æblevine. Det er altså ikke sådan noget, der smager af æblesaft eller æblemost, eller hvad vi er vant til derhjemme. Det er altså noget, der smager af vin. Det er bare lavet på æbler, ligesom af vin typisk jo altså er lavet på druer. Så galt gik det altså ikke, men nu har jeg lige fået at vide, at jeg også skal drikke deres grappa til at slutte af med. Så jeg vil sådan bare for en sikkerheds skyld lige fortælle jer bare nogle få sekunder omkring, hvad er det her, det går ud på. Men nu kommer der også nogle mennesker ind i den her butik. Så ganske kort, så vil jeg lige spørge den indehaver, som jeg ikke engang kender navnet på endnu, det kommer om lidt. Hvad er processen? Hvad er det, der skaber de her æblevine? Han siger, han godt kan tale engelsk, så det tror jeg på. I've just told the listeners that you could explain us in a few words the process of producing apple wine. I have just told them that it is to compare with the wine from grapes.
How do you do apple wine? You need an apple tree that brings you a lot of nice apples. You collect the apples, you wash them, grind them, press the juice, add some yeast, and after 10 to 12 weeks, you got apple wine. It's really that easy. The only problem is if you haven't done it for several years, it might be not the best apple wine you produce, but you do produce apple wine at least.
Og så har man jo altså muligheden for, når man har været herinde, at gå ind og både smage og også købe en flaske vin, hvis man vil det, eller et helt sæt faktisk, man har ikke færre end 6 forskellige slags, som man kan købe med hjem. Jeg ved ikke, hvad de koster. Det må I gå ind og finde ud af et andet sted på internettet, end lige præcis, hvor I hører det her. Jeg skal lige have at vide, hvad denne her herre han hedder, fordi jeg nåede altså ikke at finde ud af det.
Hi, my name's Martin. Martin, I'm the owner of Apple Wine Gallery in Frankfurt at Kleinmarkthalle, and I opened 5 years ago on the day of lockdown light.
And I can tell you that it is not the worst job in the world. I'm quite sure. Thank you very much.